For about 250 years, the Greek Empire controlled the Middle East. And today's first reading was probably written about that time, because a Book of Wisdom is one of the newest books of the Old Testament. What we have in this reading is a description of the words of the Jews who had converted to Greek ways and had given up their Jewish traditions. So this reading would be something like what would happen in our situation if someone in your family was better than you, and you decided to try to bring them down by making fun of them. That sometimes happens. You know, it happens in schools, for example, when a kid is really a good kid, he's sometimes made fun of by some of the students for being a goody two-shoes or something like that. Well, this reading is like that. You know, the Jews who were unfaithful were making fun of the Jews who were faithful. And let me read a bit of this to help you understand what I'm trying to say. The wicked, the unfaithful Jews, say, "Let us beset the just one, because he is obnoxious to us." You know, when people are good, that sometimes makes us feel bad about ourselves. "With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience." You know, if we punish him a bit, he'll get angry and he'll show us the truth that he's not as good as he thinks he is. That's what's going on in this reading. But the reason why the church chose this reading for this Sunday is to help us understand the gospel, where Jesus once more predicts his passion and his death. So let's look at today's gospel, which is from the Gospel of St. Mark, and there's three different occasions in the Gospel of St. Mark where Jesus predicts his suffering and his death. And there's a pattern to them. First of all, he predicts his suffering and death. Secondly, the apostles are described as not understanding what he's talking about, not wanting to believe it. And then following from that, Jesus gives a teaching on what it means to be a disciple, a true disciple. So the reading begins by saying, "Jesus and his disciples began a journey through Galilee, and he was teaching his apostles and telling them on the way. This is what he said, 'The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him, and 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise from the dead.'" And then he goes on to say, "But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to question him." Now, why is it that the apostles didn't question Jesus when he said these things that they didn't understand? We're kind of speculate on that, but I think there's three possibilities. One is they didn't want to hear the answer. They were afraid that the answer that he would give them would somehow challenge them more seriously, and they didn't want to ask the question because they didn't want to be challenged. Another possibility is that they didn't want to appear dumb. You know, some of the times when we have questions and we're at a lecture, for example, or when we were younger and we're in the classroom, we didn't understand what was being said, but we didn't ask for an explanation because we didn't want to look dumber than the rest of the kids in the class. I think it happens all the time. We pretend to know more than we actually know. And the third reason why they were quiet and didn't question him probably was they were preoccupied with themselves and maybe really weren't paying attention to what he was saying. Because right after Jesus told them about his suffering and his death, they began to argue among themselves about what? About who was more important than the other. Instead of being concerned about Jesus, they were concerned about themselves and really weren't interested in asking the question. So that's a situation leading up to the heart of today's gospel. So they came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, Jesus began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they remained silent. Once again, they're silent. They're embarrassed about what they were doing. They had been discussing among themselves on the way, as it says here, who was the greatest. So then Jesus sat down. This is significant because when a person sat down in biblical times, that was a sign that he was about to give a teaching. That's why the bishop's chair is such a significant part of the cathedral, because it's the chair of the person who's supposed to be teaching, okay? So Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Now, it's interesting that Jesus didn't criticize them for arguing about who is to be the greatest. Because I think there's something good about wanting to be the best, as long as we're not comparing ourselves with others, you know. But what Jesus is criticizing them about is they have the wrong understanding of what greatness is. Their understanding of greatness is the way the world understands greatness, rather than the way God understands greatness. And that's the reason why Jesus said to them, in the midst of their arguing with one another, "If anyone wants to be the first," and I think all of you should want to be the first, and I should want to be the first too, "he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." And the word that's used for servant in this passage and in much of the New Testament is the Greek word diakonos, which is the word from which we receive the title of those who serve the church as deacons, like the deacon here who sits on my right hand. And what that technically means is someone who waits on table. So Jesus is really saying to them, and he's saying to us, if you want to be great, you have to be everybody's waiter. I mean, that's kind of a graphic way of putting it. You know, that the sign of Christians' greatness is their willingness to submit themselves to the service of other people and to see other people as more important than themselves. And then in order to illustrate what he's saying by something they can see, the gospel tells us that Jesus took a child, he placed the child in the midst of the disciples, and he put his arms around the child and said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." You know, the Father is the one who sends Jesus. Now, a child in biblical times was probably the least important person in the community. I mean, we all love our children, and I'm sure the Jewish people love their children too. And in some sense, the child was the center of the life of the family, as a child is the center of our families. But in terms of social importance, you know, who important people pay attention to, unless you're just kind of saying the kid is cute, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to what children think or what they say. They're not important in the sense of someone of significance in the community. But Jesus is telling us that if we want to be his disciples, we have to understand that the least important members of our community are in some sense his presence. And whoever receives one of these least important members of the community receives him, and whoever receives him receives the one who sent him, the Father. So whenever we see somebody who is not important, they should be very important in our lives as Christians. Because each one of the people who we meet in need is, in some sense, the embodiment of the presence of Christ and the presence of God. So now let's try to apply this in our practical lives. Who is it that God calls you to serve as a waiter? Well, those of you who are married, your spouse, right? It always begins at home. Your children, of course. Those of us who are children and we have brothers and sisters, it's our brothers and sisters that we're supposed to wait on. You know, at work, if you're a boss at work, You're supposed to love those who you employ as a servant, as a waiter. You know, it's a quite different understanding of those who have that relationship with us than the world around us has. You know, in our community relations, you know, the people that are least important in the community, in the eyes of political power, are somehow the most important for those of us who are Christians. You know, I mentioned before, I think it was last week or the week before, that God has a preferential option for the poor. And it's important for us to have that same kind of preference in our own relationships with people around us, that we pay at least as much attention to the poor as we pay to those who are, in the eyes of the world, important. Because God sees things and God acts in that way. We ask the Lord to help us understand today's gospel so that we might once again begin to live more faithfully as his disciples.